In a week where Nitzavim and Vayelech would be divided, we'd be in the sixth reading now. So it's where it says Shishi. But actually it's Shlishi. Because Nitzavim and Vayelech are conjoined. Chapter 30, verse 11. Ki ha-mitzvah hazeis. For this mitzvah. Which mitzvah is this? There's a whole discussion which mitzvah we speak about here. According to the Gemara in Erevin, this is talking about Limud HaTorah. It's talking about the learning, the study of Torah. According to many of the Rishonim, like Ramban, Balaturim, Sifarno, this refers to the mitzvah of Tshuva. As we learned yesterday, there was a dispute if we were referring to Tshuva or not. According to the Ksav HaKabbalah, this refers to all of the mitzvahs. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that since Rashi doesn't specify what it means, ha-mitzvah ha-zois, so Rashi would follow that approach. Since he doesn't say ha-mitzvah ha-zois is a specific mitzvah, it speaks about all the mitzvahs, even though he uses it in singular tense rather than a plural. So ha-mitzvah ha-zois, this mitzvah, she-ra-nechi mitzavcha yoyim, that I command you today, and Rashi has already explained the meaning of today. Today means every day it should be fresh, new, dynamic, as if it was given to you at this very moment. Loi nifleisi mimcha. It is not beyond you. Veloi rechekehi. It's not even distant. So let's take a look and see what is the meaning of loi nifleis. It's not such a common word. Rashi says that the meaning of nifleisi mimcha, it's not distant from you. He doesn't speak of or interpret the word nifleis on its own, but rather he interprets the entire sentence or half sentence. He transcribes the words loy nifleis hi mimcha. And he says that means loy mechusa hi mimcha. It is not covered from you. It's not concealed from you. Now, many times in the scripture, when we use the word hafla, we're not using a word like pella, which means a wonder or a miracle, but rather we're saying that it's not concealed. It's not beyond your vision or your ability. For example, we learned a little bit earlier in this very same book that we have a situation where somebody has a question and he goes to the Beth Din, and the Beth Din also doesn't know the answer to the question. So what happens then? The Torah says, ki yipolei, when this thing is not clear, is not known, and Unculus renders it, arei yischesei, and that means covered over. Another example is found in the beginning of the book of Eicha, the book of Lamentations. In the ninth verse of the first chapter, it says, vatered ployim, and it means Yerushalayim descended into a concealed abyss. In other words, vatered b'matmonius. It's as if Yerushalayim descended into some kind of labyrinth, some kind of tunnel. Something wasn't clear anymore. Mechusa chavusha b'tamon, covered over or captured in a secretive and a concealed way. So that means lein nifleisi mimcha. Rashi says it means it is not concealed from you. It's overt. It's open. It's lein chaykehi. It's not distant. That's the first statement that Moshe Rabbeinu makes. With regard to the word nifleis, the Ibn Ezra disagrees with Rashi, and he says, it means it's not something wondrous. The idea of a wonder is beyond what the mind can grasp. That's amazing. It's a wonder. It's a shock to the system. He said, it's not. And the Sefarno, very interestingly, says, you don't need to be a prophet to do this. It's not like beyond what you're able to see. A regular person can know. You can figure out, you can know exactly what Hashem wants, and you can do what Hashem wants. Very interestingly, many, many times the charge that's leveled against Torah Judaism is, it's impossible to know what God really wants. So, well, I believe God gave us the Torah, but in a very general way. We can't really believe that God gave us the details. It's beyond, well, I really know what God wants. Everybody sounds so humble and so contrite. Ah, who am I to say what God wants? But actually, that's very arrogant, because God says you do know what he wants and you could figure it out. And yet a person comes along with this false humility. How would I know? It's God. I'm not a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet. That's exactly the point. The Rechaim and the Kliyaka say, the Neflesi means it is not impossible to understand the words of the Torah. It's very similar to what the Sephardim says. So it's your mind, you can grasp, we can learn, we can know. It's not something. He says the fact that Rechaim and Kliyaka say, the Neflesi refers to understanding Torah. It's not far away, that refers to fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Again, a charge that is often leveled against the Jewish people, sometimes by Christians, sometimes by Jews who have abandoned Judaism. It's impossible to be a perfect Jew. You can't keep the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are too hard to do. We reject it entirely. Moshe Rabbeinu told us to reject it. He says, Leineflesi, it's not impossible for you to know and to learn and understand, but Leinechekihi, it is not impossible for you to be able to fulfill. Continuing this theme, the Torah says, back to the scripture itself, verse 12, Loi vashomayim hi. It is not in the heavens. Lamer, that you might say, Mi ale lono ashomayimo. Who will climb into the heavens? Viyikoche alonu. And he will take it for us. Viyashmiyenu esa. And he will then make it known and heard. And then, only when somebody goes to the heavens and brings it down to us, v'na'aseno, and then we will perform it. So Rashi says, Loi bashamayim hi. He quotes Gemara and Eruvin that we quoted before, Mesechet Eruvin, Daf Nun Hei, page 55, and he says, Loi bashamayim hi. He says it's not in the heavens. She'ilu hoysa bashamayim, for if it were in the heavens, ha'yinetzorech la'ali sacharel, we would have to go after it, ululanda. But guess what? Good news. It's not in the heavens. Rabbi Yonis Ne'ebishet says something gewaldic. He says, a person may say, in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, who climbed into the heavens, they can know what Hashem wants. But we can't climb into the heavens. We have no Moshe Rabbeinu who went up on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and proverbially went to heaven. So for us, it's impossible to know. Wrong. Wrong, says the Torah. You can know, you must know, you should know, and you will know. If only you will be committed to doing this. Now the Torah goes on to say, Loi bashamayim hi. And then the Torah says, V'lei me'ever la'yomi. It's not across the sea. Lamer that we should say, Mi'aver lanu, who will cross the sea, el'ever hayom, to the other side of the ocean, V'yikachel lanu, and he will bring it for us. V'yashmienu isa, and he will make it known. V'na'asena, and we will do it. So verse 12 speaks about the heavens, and verse 13 speaks about the oceans. You shouldn't think it's up in the heavens that somebody has to go to the heavens. You shouldn't think it's up across the oceans, somebody has to cross the ocean. The Rashi, based on what the Sifrei Chacham says, let's take a look, it says, it would explain it in the following way. The Torah was given, as we're soon going to see, in an oral way, in a written way, and therefore it is eminently possible for us to know and understand the Torah. It's wrong for a person to say, it's not knowable. I can't discover what Hashem really wants. The Targum Yonason says that the words of the Torah are very close to us. And you don't have to go anywhere distant. Just go to the Beis Medrash, and you open your mouth, and you begin to study and think about the Torah, and it all comes together. And that's the bottom line. Rabbi Yonason Eibishitz, similar to what he said earlier, he said that Leibma Shemayim, he says, don't think it's only the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu who climbed into the heavens. He says, Leibba Ever Leyamhi, he says, don't think that you have to cross the ocean to live in Eretz Yisrael. He said, come a time, people live across the ocean. So, for example, most of the Jewish people at the turn of the 11th or 12th century ended up in Spain, which is on the other side of the ocean. This is big Mediterranean. And then, of course, in our time, we crossed a much, much bigger ocean. And yet, a Yid might say, this is for Jews in Israel. Or maybe even Jews said after, when they came to the United States and Canada, they said, it's on the other side of the ocean. It's good for the Altaheim. It's good for Europe. It could never work here. Wrong. You can expect people to say, it's not going to be here. It's not going to be now. It's the other side of the ocean. We couldn't do this. That's a mistake. It's wrong. Rather, the rejoinder is, instead of saying all these things which are wrong, instead, what is it? Verse 14, a very, very powerful and important statement. Ki korev elecha hadavar ma'id. This thing is exceedingly close to you. Beficha uvilvavcha. In your mouth and in your heart. La'asaysay, to be able to do it. So what is the meaning of ki korev elecha? It's exceedingly close. Says Rashi, exceedingly close means that the words of Torah are exceedingly close. The mitzvahs are not exceedingly close necessarily, you have to do them. But the words of Torah are exceedingly close to every one of us, and yes, we can know exactly what Hashem wants. And once you know what Hashem wants, you just have to do it. That's it. You know what He wants, go ahead and do it. As one wise person once said, which part of thou shalt not did you not understand? So HaTorah nitna lechem b'ksav u'bal peh. The Torah was given scripturally, written, but the Torah was also given in the oral form, which explains everything. So a person might say, I can't make heads or tails of the scripture. It's true. It says, put on totafas on the head. I don't know what totafas are. It says, ukshartim lo'is al yadecha. I don't know what that is. It says, shomer es yom ha-shabbos, zocher es yom ha-shabbos, keep the day of Shabbos. It says, watch the day of Shabbos. How should I watch it? How should I keep it? I don't know what it means. That's true. But the Torah, the scripture, which is not pellucid and not clear and not specific, has the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is all of those things. And the Torah was given to you that way. So therefore, as long as we study the written Torah and the oral Torah, ki korev elecha davar ma'id, then it's exceedingly close to you. And the Gemara in Eidavin, and Daf Nun Dalet says, if the words of Torah will be shigurim beficha ubelvavcha, if the words of Torah will be constantly, copiously recited in your mouth, and they'll be in your heart, which means you're reciting words of Torah, and you understand the message of Torah in your heart, then in that case, it will be korev la'asaysam. So what's the big deal? Then you go ahead and do it. You know what to do. You learn what to do. You just have to go ahead and do it. Whereas the Targum Yonison puts it, he says, beficha means to study Torah, and Torah should be studied with verbalization. Bilvavcha means that you should prepare yourself emotionally to go ahead and do the mitzvahs. And then do it. You understand it? It's in your mind. You prepare yourself emotionally. You're committed to doing this. You want to do this. And then you have to go ahead and do it. So the thing is, that it says in your mind, it doesn't say your mind, it says bilficha, because you speak the words of Torah. And because words of Torah have to be spoken, that's why we speak about this concept of the Torah, bilvavcha first. Bilficha first. Now, the Kliyakar says, bilvavcha refers to iyun ha-Torah. That refers to looking deeply into Torah, to contemplating deeply the messages of the Torah. And bilficha refers to carrying out the mitzvahs. And he says there are some mitzvahs which have to be carried out verbally, like the recitation of Shema, and there's some mitzvahs which have to be carried out actually, like the putting on film, the lighting of Shabbat candles, the affixing of a mezuzah, and so on and so forth. The bottom line is, everybody agrees, no matter how you construe or understand these words, that Moshe Rabbeinu told us it is eminently possible, it's within reach, and we are obligated to do it. So now we're going to analyze a very, very strange expression which the Torah uses. We said it's not in the heavens, because if it was in the heavens, then we'd have to go to the heavens. What does this mean? So page Kuf Lamed Dalet in the Birurim book is a phenomenal explanation that the Rebbe provides for us. Now, truth be told, there are different explanations for the concept of it's not in the heavens. And for example, the Be'er Yitzchak, another Rishon called the Ma'arik, they want to say that we speak here of the virtue of the Torah. That the Torah is so virtuous that we would have to go to the greatest extreme to be able to get it. And that's what Rashi means when he says, if it would be in the heavens, we'd have no choice, then we have to go to the heavens. The Rebbe says the problem is that when you read these verses, they don't seem to be speaking about the virtue of the Torah. Rather, they seem to be addressing the notion that the Torah is doable. We can do this. That's the issue here. This is not, there are parts of the Torah that speak about the virtue of the Torah. This is not one of those psukim. It's not about the virtue here. Here it's about the doability, the feasibility. So the Rebbe asks, Yesh Lishel, there's a simple question one might ask in the Torah. We know the Torah is so sparing with every word, with every nuance. And yet here, the Torah repeats itself multiple times. It's not in the heavens. And if it would be, you'd have to go get it. It's not in the ocean. If it would be, you have to go across the ocean and get it. Why don't you just say it's not far away. It's within reach. Why does the verse spend such lengthy description? But it's descriptions that are like almost like non-literal. They can't be literal. What's a person's an astronaut? What does it mean? And the Torah is using this euphemism, hyperbole. So if you're using euphemism and hyperbole, why go on and wax poetic in such a fashion? If the purpose of these verses, and we believe that is the purpose of the verses, is to convey to us the closeness of Torah to each and every one, then it would have been reasonable to say this in a straightforward manner. Without entertaining the question, so what would have been if the Torah would be in the highest heavens? What would have been? I don't know what would have been. Why do I have to discuss that even? There's a silly joke they say about this fellow who was going on his first date, and he was very nervous. So his friend said, you speak about, you know, you have subjects. If you cover the subjects, you'll be fine. He said, what should I speak about? He says, well, you know, first you speak about what people like, don't like. That's easy. Likes? Okay, he says. And then you speak about family. Okay. And then you do a little philosophy. You know, you get a little deep, speak a little more profound. All right, so he sits down, and he says hello, and he says to this young lady, do you like blintzes? So she says, no. He says, oh, okay, that didn't work. Now, I did the like one. He says, family. He says, do you have a brother? Figuring that if he had a brother, maybe he'll talk about it. She said, no. Okay, now he's down two. She doesn't like blintzes, she doesn't have a brother. Now he's that philosophy. He says, tell me, if you had a brother, would he like blintzes? What relevance is this? If the Torah was in the heavens, you'd have to climb into the heavens. I don't even know what that means. Nobody knows what that means. It's just euphemism. It's total hyperbole. You want to make a point, make your point. Like, it's so untypical of the Torah to wax poetic with non-literal descriptions or poetry, which has absolutely nothing to do with the real world and is not anchored in everyday reality. What's the point? We have to have a matzah demyoni. We have to get into this like strange headspace, this vanilla sky imagination. What happens if shamayim? Or what if it will be mevar liyam? Well, it's not. So just say the Torah is close. So the Rebbe says v'yesh leimer. The Rebbe's suggestion is that habitu loy b'shamayim hi. It's not on the edge of the sky. This does not appear out of nowhere. Rashi doesn't just grab a euphemism out of nowhere and say, ha, try this. What if it will be on the edge of the heavens? What would you do then? We already spoke of a shamayim previously, several verses ago. Over there, if you remember, we learned this yesterday. It says, "Im yiyeh nidacho b'ktzei ha-shamayim." If the lost Jew, the exilic reality dictates that a yid is on the edge of the heavens, it says, "Misham yikabetzcha." Hashem is going to gather him from there. Hashem alikecha. Misham yikochecha. From there he'll take him. That was yesterday. If a Jew is in heaven's edge, and what does that mean? Mahim shamayim elu. What is this heavens? Was the Torah presciently speaking of a future where space travel was possible? That what if in the future a Jewish colony will be established on planet X? That Mashiach will have to go to outer space, bring them back to Earth, and then introduce them to the Beis HaMikdash? Move on, it's understood. Sha'akavana, certainly b'derech ha'pshat. Einu l'shamayim kipshuta. We speak not of firmament or atmosphere. We don't speak about outer space. Sha'ari keitzad adam, yachal adam li'es b'ktzei ha'shamayim. How can a person be on the edge of the sky? And if he was, he's still not at the edge of the sky. What does it mean, the edge? The sky has an edge? Is a shelf? like the biktzei is obviously screams euphemism. Elo, rather, the meaning of this is habitui shamayim, this expression, heaven, meshamash moshel l'mokim nidach umaruchak b'yesa. It's an expression. It's euphemism. It means a very far place. If you'll be in heaven's edge,
Where is heaven's edge? What's the address? What are the coordinates? Got a GPS at there? No, it's not like that. It's not a literal heaven's edge. It's far away.
V'hu adin, the same thing, b'fidush ha-kosuv kan. The Rebbe says it's only natural to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu, in the very same sermon, if he says something a minute later, he's referencing the same idea that he talked about already. He's already established the principle. And that's the fact that Rashi doesn't have to go into the details. Lo'i b'shamayim hi lemer. When Moshe Rabbeinu says it's not in the heavens that we should say, Mi yalu lanu ha-shamayim, who will go into the heavens, v'yikachen olanu, and bring it for us. It's not across the seas, lemer, we should say, Mi yaver lanu, who will cross the sea and bring it to us. And so the Rebbe explains it in the following manner. Interestingly, similar to the ideas and ideals invoked by Rabbeinu Yonis and Eberschitz. Bizman shebnei Yisrael nimtzayim begalos. We speak here of a time when the Jewish people will find themselves exiled and dispersed, which actually makes perfect sense, as the Rebbe explained, because these verses are a continuation of the verses prior, and the verses prior speak of exile, galos, Jewish people being distant from their natural locale. Eretz Yisrael, as we belong, now we're far away from Eretz Yisrael. We're distant. That's exactly what we spoke about. That's what the verses set the stage for this moment. So in other words, a person will say, I'm far away from the land of Israel, and therefore, alulimim lachshev, they might begin to think, ki umateirav ha-mitzvahs, that the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs, efshiri rak v'shamayim, maybe that's only possible or feasible if you're in the heavens. Maybe it's only feasible if you're across the sea. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is called Shar HaShamayim, it's the gate of heaven. We say Yerushalayim Shamayla is connected to Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's a heavenly Jerusalem that's linked to an earthly Jerusalem. So relative to other parts of the world, we look up to Jerusalem as a heavenly country, as a place of great spirituality. And so a Yid is in Golos. He thinks to himself, you know, to do a mitzvah right, you need to be in Eretz Yisrael. Which that's like Shamayim. It's like the represents the idea of heaven. Or maybe Me'ever Layom. Have to be across the sea because now we're living in Spain. As Yehuda Halevi Asfardi used to say, Ani Nimtza used to say, I find myself in the farther stretches of the West. However, Libi, he said, my heart is B'Mizrach. My heart is all the way across the vast Mediterranean, which is not so vast, but then it was thought of to be very vast. All the way across the Mediterranean, my heart remains in the east. What did he mean? Which east? He's talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about Eretz Yisrael. So when a Yid was across the ocean, he might say, I can't do it. The Torah wasn't given for people here. The Torah was given for people who lived there. There it could work. Across the oceans it can't. And incredibly, it's exactly what people said when they came to North America. They said, it can't work here. They say that the bottom of the river, in Ellis Island, it's full of pairs of tefillin. Tens of thousands of pairs of tefillin. Jewish people threw the tefillin overboard. They threw the Shabbos candles overboard. He said, it's a new Medina. It's a new reality now. And the first thing the Friedrich Rebbe said when he came to these shores, what was his first statement was, America is nit anders. America is no different. Why did he have to say that? Because everybody was saying America is anders. They said, no, America is different. You know, get rid of those old ideas. They only work on the other side of the ocean. Wrong, said Moshe Rabbeinu, presciently, 33 centuries ago. Wrong. It's not me'ever layam. It's not across the sea. It's not in the heavens in Israel. And that's why the Pasuk emphasizes, le b'shamayim hi v'le b'ever layam. It's not in Israel. It's not across the oceans. Ela, where is it? It's korev. Elecha. Close. Very close to you, Ma'id, the Davar Ma'id. Gam b'shasha b'nei Yisrael in tzoyim begolos. Even at a time we find ourselves in an exilic reality, in distant, dispersed, far, far away from our natural habitat. Adayin ha-teira v'ha-mitzvahs b'yodam. The teira mitzvahs is still very much in hand. Ve'gam sham, and there too, wherever that might be, yecholim heim lumed es ha-teira. Yes, you can learn the Torah. Ulekayem es ha-mitzvah. Yes, you can fulfill its precepts. And when the Friedrich Rebbe came here, he boldly made this statement, and he was told by his biggest supporters, you better amend your ideas. you better match and marry yourself to a new reality. And they threatened that if the Friedrich Rebbe would not, so to speak, upgrade his attitude, if he would not let go of these old ideas, that they would leave him. And they did. Some of them tragically did. And the Friedrich writes in his diary, when he first arrived in America, about how crestfallen he felt, how crushed he felt by the attitude that he was getting. But then he spoke of the great confidence he had that he would succeed, that America would become a place, North America, would become a place that's verdant and blossoming with the light of Yiddishkeit, with the study of Torah and performing mitzvahs. And indeed it is. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said then, and that's what it means in our day and age today. That's all.